Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino with you on this Thursday afternoon. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing really cool, and I got to tell you.
You're doing really cool.
I haven't seen that new open until just now. Did you see that? Were you paying attention?
Yeah, but I've been hosting all week. So,
I know.
So I've seen it all week.
I've been on the shelf for some reason. I don't know. Maybe
have
they don't
really?
Like me anymore. I haven't been around for a while.
What?
It's cool, though.
So what did you like about the new open?
I like the graphics about it. Mm-hmm. I like that it's short and it's sweet, and we get right to the phone calls and the topics, and we're ready to go.
All right.
All right, let's go.
So let's do it. Again, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course, as always, you, Big Blue Nation. That's why we do the show. Every day, Monday through Friday, you have an hour of just strictly Giants talk. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get in, 201-939-4513. The other day, I almost gave out my own personal phone number.
No, you did not.
I did, almost.
Oh, my goodness.
Almost. And then I gave out like an 800 number for another show that I do on a radio station.
You didn't get hit in the head or anything, right?
No.
I'm just checking.
And actually, Lance did it, I want to say yesterday. Yeah, he was giving out, he does shows on Sirius.
Yes.
So he gave out the Sirius number. So it does happen. But anyway, we got the number straight today.
I'll give out some winning lottery numbers if you want to do that.
That would be nice. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get in. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, and hashtag Giants Chat. That's how you send it to us, and I'll share those tweets as well. So, Paul, while the men were practicing yesterday, you were out there. You had a front row seat. Lance and I were in here hosting the show, and we were kind of following everything via Twitter. So before we start looking forward, and there's some really interesting articles that are out there right now that Paul and I are going to really dive into. Give us a recap of OTA. I guess today is OTA number 5, so yesterday was OTA number 4.
Yeah, there are 5 more to go, 1 more tomorrow, 4 more next week. Next Friday will be the final and the 10th OTA of the session, and then everybody gets off for a little bit until the 14th when minicamp happens. That's for 3 days, and then everybody's off until training camp begins on July the 28th. So a little schedule recap for you first. Yesterday, we saw a couple of things that I thought were really cool. First of all, the play of the day. And Anita, we've talked about linebacker B.J. Goodson for a while now. Fourth-round pick out of Clemson, who was competing for a middle linebacker job. He made the play of the day. Now, if you go to Giants.com or if you go to the Giants' Twitter, you'll have an opportunity to see it. I believe Michael Becton might have been the videographer on it. He was out there at practice yesterday. They do have the video.
And what a great job Becton does, by the way.
Oh, he's awesome. He does everything.
Let's give Becton a shout-out because he really does a phenomenal job.
He shoots things. He's the editor. He's the music director. He handles so much of what we do here and what you see on Giants.com and also what you see in the stadium, too.
And he's an artist. Have you downloaded his new album?
He's a rap guy, right?
A rap guy. That's exactly what he is, Pa.
Yeah, he'd like that, wouldn't he? In any event, here's the point. He got a great piece of video of B.J. Goodson chipping a ball and then making a diving, juggling stab for the interception just as he hit the ground. It was a sensational play, the kind of athletic play that a lot of people don't think a middle linebacker is going to make because they think they're big and they're strong and they're first and second down players. But this was a very athletic play, and it was really cool to see. It was the play of the day, and play 1A was tight end Matt Lacoste, who made a sensational leaping, jumping, clutching grab as he climbed the stairs along the sideline despite outstanding coverage, and he got his feet down in bounds, and that was probably play 1A of the day at practice yesterday. It was a third down practice day, Anita, where they basically just worked on third down scenarios offensively and defensively, and Coach McAdoo said he thought the defense was especially sharp.
Okay, well, a few things based on what you just shared with us. Number one, it's been a hot topic of conversation here in regard to who's going to be the starting middle linebacker. Does he even have a shot at competing for this, or do you feel that this is really going to come down to Brinkley and Robinson?
Well, I think he's going to have an opportunity. I don't know if he's going to be able to win it that quickly because as a rookie, he's certainly got a lot of catching up to do. We spoke to Keenan Robinson yesterday, first time we've actually had a media session with him since he signed with the Redskins or from the Redskins a couple
Big
of months
dude.
Ago.
I think by the time Lance and I got done with the show yesterday, I was able to go out and catch the last 30 minutes of interviews, and a lot bigger than I expected him to. I mean, like his, I mean his bicep is like, you know, the size of my
thigh. Yeah. He and Olivier Vernon have, I think, the biggest, widest, thickest biceps on this team. It's like scary.
Absolutely.
It's really scary.
I'm with you.
So, in any event, I do think that Robinson and Shepard and Brinkley and Goodson are going to have one hell of a fight at that middle linebacker spot. Now, the good news for Robinson is that they've been working him not only in the middle, but on the weak side as well, getting some of the reps that you know, Giants usually give to JT Thomas. They want these guys to be as versatile as possible. Now, Robinson did middle linebacker, inside linebacker in the 3-4, and strong side backer with the Redskins. He's learning the new weak side position here with the Giants because they want him to be able to learn both of those spots. So that's going to help him for sure. I'm pretty sure he's going to make the team. He'd have to really screw things up not to make it. I think that you know, the linebacker from the Dolphins has got himself a fight. I think Brinkley's got himself a fight, although since he's a holdover, you would probably believe that he's got a decent chance, or at least a very good chance of making it, since he is the lone holdover in that spot. Mark Herzlich's got himself a heck of a battle. You know, special teams has always been his forte, but he's got a fight on his hands. And Goodson being a fourth-round pick, it's hard to imagine that they would pick him in April and then give up on him in training camp. So do I think he's got a realistic shot to make the team? Yes. Do I think he's got a realistic shot to get snaps? I don't know. That may be asking a lot. But I do think he's certainly got a good chance to make the team, and he's showing a lot of good things right now.
Again, 201-939-4513. That's the phone number you want to get in right now to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Some other topics from yesterday, and I do want to talk about what Justin Pugh had communicated to the media. That's another guy, fortunately, I was able, when I went out there, I was able to hear what he had to say.
He's thicker, too.
Yeah. You know, in regard to the offensive line. Hopefully Charlie's listening right now. You know, Charlie's been hired as the lobbyist for Giants fans in regard to improving this offensive line. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I am. And okay. I'll tell you what, Charlie, stick around. We say goodbye to the folks on Twitter and remind you that if you want to watch the rest of Big Blue Kickoff Live, go over to Giants.com and we'll be there for the next hour.
So, kind of share with the folks exactly what Justin Pugh said, because this was actually a question that I posed to Lance yesterday.
Well, you know me. I'm the champion of the offensive lines.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that.
Of course.
And I've told everybody for the longest time that last resort is to move Pugh outside to right tackle. That's something he can do. We've seen him succeed at it. It's not something the Giants really want to do. We found out yesterday, not only is it something they don't want to do, they're not even thinking about it right now. Justin Pugh made it very clear to us that he is cemented into left guard. That is what they've told him. That is all he has done during the offseason program. He is digging his feet into that spot because now it's his second year at left guard, and he wants to be the best left guard that he can be and maybe the best in this league. He is gung-ho about that position. Now, I remind you, he said to everybody, I'll play wherever they want me to play, and I'll do whatever they want me to do to help the team. But I'm really excited about staying at one position, and left guard is that spot. So for all you folks out there who want to move Justin Pugh back over to right tackle, put that on the shelf for now, because it is truly a last resort. They do not want to do that.
Okay, so this is the question I asked Lance yesterday. In regard to the talent that's here right now, let's say, hypothetically speaking, tomorrow, regular season game one at Dallas, 4:25 on Fox.
I'll be there.
Oh, I know you're going to be there. So let's say tomorrow's the game. Based on the talent that's on this roster right now, in your mind, what's the best starting five, and where would you place them?
Well, you're going to go Flowers, Pugh, and Richburg, and then on the right side, you got to go at the moment with the incumbents, John Jerry at right guard and Marshall Newhouse at right tackle. That competition, though, because of Bobby Hart's ability to play both spots, he's going to get chances to play both. Where he wins a job, if he does, remains to be seen. Again, I still think he's better off at guard. I know David Deal feels the same way, and I trust him because he's played all the positions on the line. I certainly have not. I'd have to gain at least 120 pounds to try, so that's not going to happen. I do think that the guard spot's his best spot. However, if for some reason he can't beat out John Jerry and then he's forced into battling Newhouse and can beat out Newhouse, well, then maybe Bobby Hart is the right tackle. I still think someone's coming in from the outside. You know how I feel about this.
I've been saying this as well, but, you know, you've got a lot of Giants fans who don't see it. They want a name. Who's the guy that's coming in from the outside?
Mr. X.
Let me ask you this before we move on, because you mentioned the Giants working on third down yesterday. We got into an interesting conversation in that regard as well. If let's say hypothetically speaking, there's not a free agent that comes in before training camp starts, and then of course we both know, you know, as training camp rosters have to be trimmed. Yeah. There's always going to be a tackle that is going to be cut because there is a team that has immense depth at that offensive line position.
Or they just want to look at a young guy and they feel that the old guy doesn't have many legs left.
I mean, is that like what's it can happen. Like in regard? But I'm saying in regard to your timetable, and could that player be productive for the Giants if he does come in, let's say, midway through training camp?
Here's what I would say. I think that the guy who comes from the outside, in order to maximize his value and to give him the best chance to compete for a starting job, he's got to get here by the second week of training camp. Now, do I think that's a deadline? No, I don't. Because if somebody gets cut, Anita, in either the first or second cut, then obviously you could be pushing it all the way to the week of opening day. That will diminish that guy's chances to compete for a starting job, but it won't prohibit him from doing so, because that guy, maybe it'll take him a month to get coached up. But if the Giants are still struggling along the offensive line and they believe that there's somebody in that last cut that can still help them, they'll make that move, and that guy will be given 2, 3, 4 weeks to learn. And then if he comes in and practice and proves that he deserves to be a starter, then he'll be a starter. So don't just say, if they don't pick up anybody else until the final week of camp, that it's fait accompli. No, this team is always going to be looking to improve. They have to. You can't just sit pat when you're the Giants and haven't made the playoffs in 4 years. You have to be on the prowl each and every minute for somebody who could, you know, kind of show up on the radar and improve your team.
Quick note in regard to offensive line. Joe Thomas working out for Cincinnati, would we?
Jake Long's working out
Jake
with
Long.
The Bears today,
Jake
apparently.
Long. I'm sorry. Jake Long working out with the Bears today.
And he visited the Giants last year. That's not a secret. Everybody knows about that.
Twice.
But degenerative knee trouble. Mm-hmm. And you know, he finally got a contract from the Atlanta Falcons, had spot duty in 4 games, but did not play very much. And quite frankly, the only thing I would say there is, if Jake Long really had enough left in his legs, the Falcons probably would have found a place for him on the field. And that really didn't happen. That's got to tell you where he's at.
Want to remind fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. I'm going to share some tweets before we head out to the phone lines. This is from Gorison Leon. He says, enjoying Big Blue Kickoff Live from Germany. He wants to know, how does Doble look? And look, this is great. He sent us a photograph. He's got us linked into his television set. He's watching us in Germany. That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
It's really cool. Doble, how's he look?
What time do you think it is in Germany?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Dee, can you do the math?
Any idea?
Can you do? Yes.
I don't know. Is he eating dinner? Is this like a dinner time show for him? Big Blue Kill? Are we in prime time in Germany?
I don't know.
How hopefully, cool would that be?
Hopefully, Dee will find out.
Doble has shown well in terms. 6 hours later, so it is 6 p.m. It is time for dinner. Well, enjoy. Here's what I would say about Doble.
Who eats at 6 p.m.?
I don't. Maybe they do.
Do you eat at 6 p.m.?
Not usually.
That's so early.
Not usually. But anyway, Doble has shown the ability to listen and to take instruction well. He's a long strider. As with most long striders, they're going to be a tad slow getting off the line of scrimmage. And the one thing that I haven't seen from him yet, and I need to see in training camp, and I need to see in the preseason games, is how is he going to deal with press coverage? I don't know that yet. I can see that he runs well. He does take direction well. He's got good hands. He's certainly in shape. He's got length. He's got size. Those are all good things, and so he's very intriguing to me. But how is he going to be getting off the line against man coverage or press coverage? haven't seen that yet. And until he's in that type of competition, I don't know.
But let me ask you this. There was an interesting article. I don't know if Graziano, somebody, one of the beat reporters did it in regard to, like, the average height of all the wide receivers on this core. And you're talking about 5'10", 5'11".
That's the point.
So because of his height and the skill set that he brings to the equation that nobody else does – I mean, that definitely helps his chances on making this roster, let alone the practice squad.
You and I talked about this last week. He's kind of the Corey Washington component here. Because of his size and length, it makes him unique from the rest of the guys in that room.
As opposed to Ramsey.
Well, you know, I mean, just look at him. Just look at him. I mean, he's a big, tall skyscraper. And if the Giants are going to have that kind of target downfield for Eli, at this point, if it's not one of the Smurf receivers, it's going to have to be a tight end.
Is that what we're calling them?
I call them Smurfs.
We're calling them the Smurf receivers.
I call them Smurfs. When you're 5'11", you know, barely 6 feet, you're a Smurf to me.
Wow. I could see something starting to trend here.
I'm not saying that in a derogatory way.
I'm saying.
Smurfs are very successful, you know. In any event, the point is, she's right about Doble. Unique size in that room. There are a couple of other guys who have some size. You look at a Jeremy Davis. He's on the bigger side. Lewis, the receiver, who's a free agent, an undrafted rookie free agent. They got in from Bowling Green. He certainly has some size and length. Poe's another guy. They have a few guys who have some size and length, but none quite like Doble. That could give him a leg up on some of the other fellows.
Some other tweets, again, hashtag Giants chat. Albert says Jasper Brinkley has showed a lot of good instincts last year. I think he's got somewhat of a fan base. I think there are a number of Giants fans, based on the calls that have come in this week. I think there's a lot of Giants fans that would like to see him win that middle linebacking position. This is from Ben. He said, Charlie doesn't represent Giants fans in anything except maybe an annoyance. Passion isn't a substitute for judgment. Poor Charlie. He gets destroyed. I mean, I dig Charlie. I dig his fight. I dig the way that he wants to see this Giants team improve. And, you know, obviously he believes it begins and ends in the trenches, like a number of people do. Ben also says, plus Smurfs are blue. We got big blue and small blue. Not bad.
So he's on board.
I think he's on board with your Smurf analogy for this Giants wide receiving core. Last thing before we head out to the calls, 201-939-4513. We were talking about the fact that the Giants were the worst in the league in time of possession last year.
Oh, boy.
And the point I made was that it was because they weren't able to convert on third down. And why was it? I mean, listen, I'm not a defensive coordinator, but I knew third and long, Eli was looking for Odell Beckham Jr., so he was not just double-teamed, triple-teamed. I mean, defensive put all 11 guys on Odell at that point. With Sterling Shepard,
yeah,
now part of this team. I don't. Defenses aren't going to have the luxury to do that. And to me, he's the kind of receiver that on third and five, third and four, third and three, he's so shifty. He's so quick off the line. He's going to help this team convert on third downs.
Well, I think not only Sterling Shepard, but I think better usage of Shane Vereen is going to help that as well. I don't think they used him enough last year, quite frankly, because they were a little concerned about the offensive line and some of the pass pro. They wound up keeping their backs in more than they think they wanted to. And so I agree with you. I think Shepard helps that, but I also think that Marine's going to do more. We've seen what I think is a hint during the course of these early spring practices that they do want to use him more. And, by the way, not that he's going to be a big pass receiver, but please keep an eye on Will Johnson, the tight end they signed from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's going to be a very important component on this team.
One more thing again.
And blocking, big-time blocking guy.
We had Carl, and there was somebody else who called in yesterday, and I apologize for not remembering your name. Two callers who called in who said that Larry Donnell will not make the 53-man roster.
Wow. I will say this. Anytime you have a guy coming off of a neck injury, you're going to be ultra cautious and ultra careful with him because if he has any types of symptoms, they're going to shut him down. Now, you remember when Jameel McClain had gotten hurt last year. He got a bad stinger in his neck, and he had actually come out.
Well, and then that was it. But that's obvious. I said that. I said, listen,
but it's got to be part of the equation.
But that wasn't – that's not what the call was about. The call
he just
was,
doesn't think talent-wise he's good enough.
Yes. And I said that's nuts.
I have a hard time buying that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think if Larry Donnell is healthy enough, he has shown to be enough of a receiving threat, and certainly he and Eli have got something going pretty good. If he can play, I think Larry Donnell's here. But again, I'm just going to say I'm cautious because I've seen David Wilson, I've seen Jameel McClain, you know, two guys who were supposed to have big roles on this team the last couple of years, and I've seen them all come down with these stingers and then, you know, retire. That's a dangerous thing for me. So, Larry, I hope you're healthy. I hope you make it through. And great if you're a part of the team. But you don't mess with that stuff.
I'm with you. 201-939-4513. Let's head out to our calls. We've got a full bank, so let's kick it off. Line two, we have Jason in New Jersey. Jason, you're first up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome in.
Yeah, Paul, just to let you know, Bobby Hart isn't playing guard this year. I don't know why you keep going on about that. He's been strictly lining up as a right tackle. So John Jerry is the right guard.
And, no, time out. That's not true. Have you been to the workouts?
I want to point out what Justin Pugh said yesterday about John Jerry. Okay, he said, quote, John Jerry is one of the most underrated guards in the NFL. He said he is a guy that I look up to, and this is what he said at the end. I think what he brings to the table is invaluable, and I think a lot of people should recognize the value that he brings to the team and how good he is at right guard. Now,
I was there, by the way, and I listened to Justin Pugh. So you go right ahead.
Hello?
I listened to Justin Pugh. I was there yesterday, so I was in the conversation.
Hold on. A month ago, April, Weston Richburg was asked by Patricia Train about the right side of the offensive line. First sentence out of his mouth, John Jerry deserves a lot more credit than people give him. So Pugh and Richburg are referring to people like you guys who don't know what they're talking about.
No, that's not true. Dave, Davis, what we're going to do, we're going to get rid of this call. I've had enough of him already. he doesn't even look.
Somebody ruffled the Tino's feathers
because he's not talking facts.
That doesn't happen often.
He's not talking facts.
So I probably
give John Jerry more credit than anybody in the media does because John Jerry has done a very, very solid job in pass protection. And for that, I give him credit when most people and most media just want to throw him to the sideline as a two-bit part who doesn't do anything for this team. You know as well as I do. I have absolutely given him his due as a pass protector. I mean, Eli Manning couldn't do what he does if that line was not adequate in pass protection.
I understand, but the caller, his point is that he feels he's going to be the right tackle.
The right guard. That's what he said. He said that Jerry's going to be the right guard.
Oh, I heard him say tackle.
He was saying that Hart's going to go out to tackle. He thinks that Hart's going to beat out Newhouse and that John Jerry should stay at right guard. He apparently doesn't think there should be a competition. Now, here's this problem. He hasn't watched every snap here at OTAs like I have. So he doesn't obviously know exactly what's going on. Bobby Hart is the type of guy who is going to be working at both spots. All right, he could say all he wants. He obviously hasn't been here. Bobby Hart is better suited skill set wise to play guard. And you know why? It's because of his feet. The kind of feet that he has, they're not quick enough against speed rushers to line up on the outside effectively on a consistent basis. At least he hasn't shown that. Okay? He shows that he's better suited to be a guard. That does not mean he's going to wind up there. Okay? If John Jerry is so good, he will beat Bobby Hart. He will be the starting right guard, and Bobby Hart's going to have to go outside and try to compete with Marshall Newhouse. That may be the way it turns out. It's a shame the listener doesn't have any patience and doesn't understand English, because if he did, he would understand what we're saying.
How confident are you of Bobby Hart playing tackle?
I think he can do it, but I've got some trepidation there. Because there are speed rushers who are going to give him problems.
Because of his
feet
work.
Coming off of the edge. Yeah. Yeah. Look, here's what I will tell you, okay? Many, many moons ago, and I continue to have football people tell me this all the time. If you're going to have a offensive lineman who has some limitations, whatever they are, the best place to put him is at right guard. If his feet aren't quick enough, you absolutely want to move him inside. Okay? If he doesn't necessarily have all the technique, you want to be able to move him inside. You know why? Because when you're a guard, you got people to help you on both sides. when you're a tackle, there's no one help you either on the left side or the right side.
No, and you need to have, and you need to be the most athletic, and you need to have great feet work.
That's why tackles often get moved to guard.
And that's why tackles make more money.
Yes.
This is from Albert. He says, Bobby Hart should be brought along slowly. He was a seventh round pick, for crying out loud. Chill, people.
Well, and you know what? That's the bottom line. Bobby Hart's not a blue-chip first-round pick who's coming fresh out of college and deserves to be a starting tackle in this league. He's a guy who's got a lot of potential. He's got a lot of really good skills. But when they drafted him last year, the idea was that he would be a project, that he would basically be a redshirt last season, and he would be a project that in year two or three would challenge for a starting job. He is on schedule. That's exactly what's going on with him right now. He is going to challenge and compete for a starting job. And they want him to learn both spots because he might wind up being a starter at one of those two spots. Again, folks, the best five have to get on the field. How many thousands of times have we said this in the last how many years? The best five are getting on the field. If Bobby Hart's one of the best five, he's playing no matter where it is. He's going to play.
Ben says that Bobby Hart will play both. A team usually keeps eight offensive linemen, five starters, three reserves. Can you see that? Can you see that role for Bobby Hart, or do you feel that he's going to make a starting spot?
Well, if Bobby Hart doesn't win a spot, you're damn straight he's going to be a primary backup at both guard and tackle. I mean, sure, there's no question. I mean, Bobby Hart has a future here. As long as he matures, grows, and shows that he deserves it, and I think he will, he's got a future on this team. And at some point, if not this year, then next year, he'll make a serious run at a starting job.
Now, there's been some reports out there in regard to Flowers and also, in some regard, Bobby Hart not seeing eye-to-eye with Flats last year. So now Solari's here. Have you spoken to them in regard to the new offensive line coach, or is there more seeing eye to eye? Is there more?
You know, look, I think a lot of times what happens is when you get a new guy coming in, there's a clean slate,
mm-hmm.
and whatever differences a player may have had with a previous coach, you know, sometimes a difference kind of hangs with the guy. I mean, if you and I didn't see eye to eye on something, it would hang with you for a while. I'm sure that there are some things that you know, Coach Flats maybe saw in some of his linemen, and maybe for whatever reason they didn't mesh as well. I don't know. I'm not gonna go there, because what happens in the positional rooms stays in those positional rooms. But at least you know that with a new offensive line coach, every one of those linemen has a clean slate. Now, for anybody, that's a good thing. Because now I'm starting fresh, and I've got an opportunity to prove and show that guy whatever I've got. And there are no inhibitions. There's no residue. It's all about me showing my best to see what it is that I deserve and what I can earn. And that's I'm sure what these young guys are thinking right now. Although I will tell you this, we've heard Coach McAdoo, he just said yesterday that Flowers and Pugh are showing a lot of improvement in technique, specifically hand placement. That's a good sign. Now, there's no contact yet, so let's hold our horses. But Coach at least has acknowledged that.
201-939-4513. Another topic that's come up that just I totally do not agree with, and that is Charlie feels, and I keep on going to Charlie because Charlie's like the main voice in regard to offensive line. He feels that right side of the offensive line, if the season was to start, let's say, with Hart or John Jerry and Marshall Newhouse, you're talking it's the difference of winning possibly four or five games for the Giants. So Charlie doesn't see this team winning more than six if they're lucky, with this offensive line. I disagree. I think, obviously, the defense has gotten just 100 times better, and you were able to see the number of points that the offense was able to put up last year. The offense has gotten better. So I disagree with Charlie, but, I mean, could that right side of the line, and if they don't perform up to expectation of you know, what you'd like an offensive line to perform at, do you feel that could cost the Giants four or five games?
Well, here's what I will say. If this offensive line, as it's constructed today, is the offensive line they have to go to war with for the season, there are two things that will help them. A, the continuity factor. You just heard Justin Pugh talk about it yesterday. He said, hey, we could talk all we want about versatility, and that's a very, very valuable asset to have. But to have our same five intact, that is a plus. Obviously, the enhanced development of Weston Richburg, who I think could make a run at a Pro Bowl this year at center, is one thing that will make this line better for sure. Flowers will be better, I'm sure. So the line should be better, if for no other reason than they're together for another year. How much better? I don't know, but they should be better. They've got another thing going for them. That's Will Johnson, the guy I just mentioned to you a few minutes ago. He is a really good blocking tight end. Really good at it. Go back and look at some of the film, if you can, on NFL.com, some of the cut-ups you can get your hands on. Watch Will Johnson. He's a better blocking tight end than anybody the Giants have right now. And when you add that tight end as a blocking component to this offensive line, they automatically become better. So if it is the same five, I think you'll see improvement. How much, I don't know. But I think they will be better than they were last year.
201-939-4513. We'll continue with your calls. Let's go to Connor calling in from Long Island. Connor, welcome. Connor's
gone.
Okay.
Oh.
Do we got Steve in Brooklyn? All right. Steve, welcome.
Afternoon. How you doing?
Hi.
Paul and Anita.
Hi.
I want to say you guys do an outstanding job, man. And,
well, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Long time listener. First time calling. But,
cool. And by the
I
way,
listen to you guys all the time.
Appreciate that. And by the way, to that caller earlier, problem is if a guy wants to come through with a question or an opinion, at least he's got to get his basic facts right. And then we'll deal with it. Guy didn't have his facts right, and he doesn't watch practice every day, so it's hard for him to do so. I just want to make that clear. So I appreciate your call, and please go right ahead.
And one thing about that caller, why are you calling disputing facts? I mean, I get my facts from you guys. Like, you know, like we're fans. We call with opinion and wishes and whatever. I didn't get it. But I wanted to say a few things, if you don't mind. First thing is about Eli. I think he doesn't get his due, first of all, around you know, the national media and the NFL, because for what he's done and what, you know, weapons he's had over the years, I think he should get more respect. I don't know how you guys feel about that, because first of all, a lot of people talk about him like, you know, he's not really even on Tony Romo's level.
Well, so how long you been listening to the show, sir?
Oh, a long time. I've been listening for more, I'd say, for about 2 years now.
So you know how I feel. I feel that Tony Romo is an Anita Marks quarterback. Fantasy football people love Tony Romo.
Well, okay, time out.
Right?
In fantasy. Yes.
Right?
In fantasy
there
football.
There you go. Fantasy football quarterback. Tony Romo, Philip Rivers. There you go.
In fantasy football, yes. Tony Romo does deliver.
And can I tell you a quick story about Eli?
Go ahead.
If you don't mind. Because when he got drafted, I was in the Navy, and I was out to
Thank
sea.
Thank you for your service. I appreciate that.
Definitely. When I got word that he actually got himself traded to New York, let me tell you, I went outside on the boat, and I let out the biggest scream ever.
Is that good or bad?
Well, that's a good thing, because fast forward to 2012, my wife was pregnant, and we were debating names and whatnot, but she's not a big football fan. So I'm trying to work out, you know, how I'm going to bring up Eli as a name, as a possible name. So I'm like, so what are we going with? So she's saying, you know, other names here and there, and she's like, you know, she would like a biblical name. So I'm like, okay, well, Elijah is a biblical name. I'm like, but, you know, that's kind of too long. How about we cut that down to Eli?
And did she buy that?
Yeah, she bought it. So,
oh, wow.
You know, now I have a son, and his name is Eli.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Yeah, but, yeah, so I kind of wanted to say that. And one of the keys, I think, for success for the Giants this year, I think it's going to be the running game. I know everyone's calling in about the offensive line and, you know, is gloom and doom and whatnot, but I think the running backs have to step up also, because And I don't know. Do you know how this the new coach feels about the whole running back by committee aspect of things?
Okay. Well, here's the thing, and I want to be clear about this. And we're so glad that you called because you're a good caller, and I want you to call again.
Definitely. I'll try my best. It's just sometimes I listen to the recording.
The running back by committee.
Thank you for your call, by the way.
Listen up to the answer. Anita, we talked about this a lot last year, the running back by committee, and Coach Coughlin talked about it then, and Coach McAdoo is of the same mentality. Nobody early in the season was grabbing the bull by the horns and deserved 20 carries a game. I mean, the production wasn't there. Again, that's also intertwined with the offensive line, which has not been a good blocking offensive line run-wise now for a while. During the end of the season, Rashad Jennings, as he was getting more carries and the line seemed to be blocking better for the run, grabbed that role. And they started feeding him more, and he was getting it done. Now, if you believe what Justin Pugh said yesterday, that if they maintain the continuity and these five guys are still the same five guys, well, again, add the blocking tight end Will Johnson to that mix, you'd like to believe they'll build off of that. And that if Rashad Jennings is able to continue his work as he did at the end of last year, maybe he will be the guy who, at least at the beginning of the year, is the primary back. I don't know that right now, but he certainly showed that he's worthy of that type of consideration based off of what he did at the end of last season.
Also, points have been made this week in regard to Whitlock and how having him there in the backfield as that fullback really helped the rushing attack as well. What have you seen at practice with Whitlock this week?
Whitlock's been a little bit banged up during the spring, so he hasn't gotten all the reps like he would have otherwise, and that's one of the reasons why also Will Johnson's here, because he's not only a tight end, he's an H-back and a fullback. He played all the different positions with the Steelers.
Do you think it's going to be one or the other in regard to making the roster?
I think there's a good chance that those two will be battling for one spot.
Interesting.
And again, understanding that Johnson can be counted as a tight end, but because of his ability to swing into the backfield, you might have a situation. You know, a lot of teams are doing away with the fullback.
Right.
There's a possibility they say, well, we're going to keep – they could say we're going to keep four tight ends, which would be a little much, but they could say we're going to keep four, but we're counting Will Johnson as a swing fullback, and therefore we're not going to keep a fullback. They could do that.
This is from Donald. Hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Thinking we limit Vereen in receptions and supplement a back that can do both run and catch to keep D's guessing. More balls to OBJ and Shep.
Well, just remember this. If you're going to be a third down back, you better be able to pick up the blitz. Because if you can't do pass pro on third down, you got yourself a problem. Because that quarterback needs to stay upright. And you're not going to be sending a guy out on every play. There are going to be times you're going to have to stay in because they're calling a firehouse blitz and you're not going to have enough people to match up, and you're going to at least have to chip that defender. So any of these guys, whether it's Vereen, whether it's Jennings, whether it's Paul Perkins, the new kid from UCLA who was just drafted this year, they all have to show that they can pick up the blitz effectively if they're going to get on the field.
This is a rank waiters says if the O-line stays as is, you'll see a two tight end set.
Wow. You could see some of that, I believe, in the 4-minute offense for sure. You know, that's the one thing the Giants showed they just could not do at all last season was run a 4-minute offense. And that goes back to the blocking and the running game. Now, if you put Johnson out there, and then if you go double tight end, and if Adams, the rookie,
Jarrell Allen, Adams, yeah,
makes the team also, and he's a big guy, big frame. I don't know how strong he's going to get as a rookie, but if he can really, get his physicality going, how about that? Think about the five offensive linemen, and then you go double tight end, one back. And maybe you put Andre Williams back there. If Andre Williams increases his productivity, you throw him back there with a double tight end set. How about that to help kill clock? That'd be pretty good.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. We continue with your calls. We go to Stas calling in from Washington. Stas, welcome.
Hey, what's up, Anita? What's up, Paul? Hey, hi. I just want to say, how are you guys? I just want to say this. I called in a couple of weeks ago. I talked to Lance and John about this, and I think people like they slip their mind all the time. I think, you know, we got to remember that we lost 5 games in the last 90 seconds last season, in the last 90 seconds, and that was with a legitimate. And I'm not trying to, you know, not give the other receivers their due, but our legitimate threat on offense last year was Odell Beckham Jr. Okay?
Okay.
So let's just think about this a second. You got Odell Beckham Jr. now. You got Shepard. I honestly have full faith that Victor Cruz is going to surprise a lot of people. I just have that faith in the guy. Okay?
Okay.
But let's just say Victor Cruz is only 70% of what he used to be. At 70%, you double Shepard, you double Odell. At 70%, Victor Cruz is going to have his catches. And then just say let's just say our defense, which should be more than this, if our defense just improves by 15%, we're winning 5 more games last season. This year, our offense is better. Our defense is better. I honestly feel the Giants are going to go, 10-6. I honestly feel they're going to go 10-6. And I think Eli Manning is going to, people who don't want to acknowledge him will be forced to acknowledge him after this season. That's what I honestly believe. I believe he's going to light people up. And I think Shane Vereen is going to be huge.
Yeah.
I think what we did with Shane Vereen last year was limited. I mean, I don't think we utilized him the wrong way. I just think he wasn't utilized enough. And I think this year, I think it's going to be even more so. I'm not sitting here saying that we don't have our troubles, because we have our troubles. I'm more concerned, more than the right side of the offensive line, I'm more concerned about our linebackers. That's what I'm concerned about. I can't honestly say any one of those guys are going to be in the starting lineup. I mean, obviously someone's going to be, but, you know, we don't have a bona fide, hey, here's our stud middle linebacker. We don't have that, you know? My concern mainly is linebackers, especially in coverage, because we seem to just give tight ends free passes or something. I don't know, but I honestly feel there's going to be some really good things. And honestly, I think what's his Darius Thompson, third round pick, safety.
Darian Thompson, yes. Who, by the way, took some first team snaps yesterday.
You've been really impressed.
Yeah, very impressed with him.
Well, he's a stud. He broke Eric Weddle's record of interceptions. At their alma mater.
Had 19 at Boise State, yeah.
Yeah, he's a stud. Don't sleep on him. Is he going to be an immediate contributor? Maybe not in the beginning of the season. I see him coming out strong in the later.
He could be. He's fighting right now. He wants to get a grip of a starting job, and he's going to be in the mix.
And remember this about Steve Spagnuolo. When we won 42, who are our safeties? It was Butler and I forget the other guy's name.
You mean Jabril Wilson? Jabril Wilson and James Butler were the two safeties.
Now, the one thing I'll say about Butler, that people underestimated, that guy can lay a pound. When he hits you, he hits you.
And very smart. Very, very smart player.
But that was the thing. And if you think, you read what Steve Spagnuolo is saying about this kid, is his instincts, his football IQ, his voice. He talks about the things that Steve Spagnuolo loves in a safety. So I see this kid really pulling in the part. I'm not trying to be an optimistic fan, because last year I was not talking this positively about the Giants.
He's not optimistic. But you sound very optimistic, but I love it, because you're bringing up all the points that if the dominoes fall on the plus side, you're right. The Giants will be a playoff team if all of the dominoes fall right. I don't know how many of them will right now, though.
Yeah, barring injuries you can't predict. You know, things can happen where, you know, I am concerned about our depth and offensive line and stuff like that.
Yep.
I'd love to see what Eric Flowers is going to do with a healthy ankle all year. I'd love to see that. You know, but honestly, I told John, I mean, this might be saying much, but if everyone stays healthy, I see Eli Manning just between the top three receivers throwing for over 3,000 yards just between the top three receivers.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you. And you're right.
Thank you.
The Giants are a better team. How much better, we don't know yet, but they're a better team.
Go ahead.
No, you first, and then I want to address Victor Cruz. Go ahead.
I'd like for you to kind of elaborate in regard to what you've seen with the secondary this so far in camp. Eli Manning, Wade, of course, I mean, kind of share with everybody what you've seen so far, because you have been quite impressed.
Well, we've seen Jenkins and DRC be the starting corners on the outside,
right,
although Eli Apple has been taking some starting reps at the right corner spot. Now, in addition to that, we've seen Trevin Wade be the starting slot, and then occasionally Eli Apple has taken over the slot spot with the starting team. It seems to me right now They're still trying to find their way through Spags' scheme and how he wants to use these guys. Remember, Jenkins is coming over from the Rams. Apple's a rookie. Wade was kind of feeling his way last year. You know, he wound up playing a lot more than they expected because the Giants had some injury. But he's a guy who's
that's the battle. Wade and Apple, that's the battle.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's not like Apple's going to start over DRC or Jenkins.
No. We got to find out who's going to be that third corner opening day. And right now you would think that Wade has a leg up because of his experience and his ability to – he's been here before. But so that's what we're looking at. And then we're looking at the depth behind those guys because spots 4, 5, and 6, if they keep 6, are wide open. Wide open. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. There's going to be this is going to be one of the big fights of the preseason. I mean, Anita, you got to watch all 4 quarters of these preseason games. I know a lot of you folks don't like the preseason. Damn it, you better watch this year. Because the battle along the offensive line, the battle for those linebacker spots, the battle for the backup
secondary.
Spots in the secondary.
Right.
You got to watch the 3rd and 4th quarters of these games to see who those guys are going to be. You turn the game off at halftime in a preseason game, you're making a big mistake. All right,
so that's in regard to the corner position, and then what about the safety position? I mean, you know, one day we hear that Burhey is starting with the first team.
Yeah.
The next we're hearing that Thompson.
Thompson got a bunch of the snaps with the first team yesterday,
right.
And he looks good doing it. But here is the problem, though, with the secondary thing when you're looking at OTAs. Because there's no contact, okay, you're playing receiver. I can't jam you. That's a big deal.
Well, of course.
It's a big deal in this league. And if I can't jam you right now during OTAs, A, how am I going to learn as an unproven receiver if you can get off a jam? I'm not going to learn that now. How am I going to learn as a defensive back if I can do the jam?
I understand that. But
there's a lot to be learned.
You could still pay attention to technique, cover skills,
well,
their hips, how they position themselves, how they move on the ball. Like, I mean, it's all those things that you're paying attention to.
Well, Jenkins has proven.
Right.
And Thompson looks like he has instincts. He does look very much in control out there. He looks like and sounds like and carries himself as if he's been in this league for 2 or 3 years at least. Doesn't look like a rookie to me who just stepped onto campus. Not at all. So if that's your question, I'm giving you a big thumbs up for him to this point. But, of course, you know, as a safety, he's not involved in jams or anything like that. But here's what I do want to touch on before we go to the next call real fast. Victor Cruz, turn around just a second. Just a second. There you go. Victor Cruz yesterday was doing some advanced work that I had not seen him do during the offseason. I think it's significant.
Besides wearing his bright orange cleats.
Right.
Right.
They had a wrap around his waist and were tugging at him as he was trying to do his sprints,
right.
Giving him resistance.
Right.
Hadn't seen that all spring. To me, that's a step up for him. Okay. They would tug at him through the first 5 yards of his sprints. I'm sorry, but I thought it was important to demonstrate.
Okay.
And so then they would let him go, and then he would go for another 15 to 20 yards. Touch up, and then sprint back. They did that a number of times with him. Then after going through those reps, then they said to him, okay, now give us some gassers. Do 15 and do 20. Doom, 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 doom. And those were without resistance. And he was going full tilt. So what I'm telling you is, yesterday, based on eyewitness, I was right there. I was 15 yards from him, watching him do it. That is the most aggressive working out and running that I've seen Victor Cruz do during this offseason. That's a good sign.
But we both know. We've been sitting here talking about
how
this
both
is
know.
We both know. That
what's around door number 2? I don't know.
We both know it's going to come down to when the pads go on, and
yeah.
He's got to get off the line of scrimmage, and he's got to create that separation.
I know, but this was a good sign.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 201-939-4513, the number to get on board, Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks, Paul DeTino, and, of course, you on this Thursday afternoon. And also your tweets, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Angel, wants to know which player looks the most improved from last year so far.
Most improved. Difficult question to answer because, again, there's really not real plays going on. It's walkthroughs. It's jog-throughs. Very, very difficult to say. I would say this from talking to guys, from talking to the players. Landon Collins seems to really have much more of a presence about himself in year two than he did as a rookie when he was still trying to feel his way through. Is that the answer you want? I don't know, because I got to see him in games. I got to see him against competition. But he does seem to be carrying himself differently.
But also, keep in mind, you know, the first year for a rookie is tough. They end their season, and then, God forbid, if you play out west, you're now getting a really late start, a late jump in regard to transitioning to the NFL because of the exams that you have to take. You know, anyone who plays out there in the pack, it's
unfortunately, he's a Bama guy. But
it's a nightmare.
Paul Perkins is in that spot now. He can't be here.
Exactly. And then you come in, and immediately you've got to get ready for the combine, and then the draft is emotional, and then you land on a team. You've got to learn the playbook. OTAs, you typically stay in that city. You learn. You start training. I mean, the first year of a rookie is really tough. Now he's had a true offseason. He knows this system. So, you know, I immediately am already expecting Landon Collins to have a better year this year than last.
I think you should.
Typically for most rookies,
think. Yeah, you should. And it seems like he's carrying himself, again, more as a veteran now. So that'd be my answer right now, but I don't really have a great answer until I actually see these guys in more competition.
Let's continue with your calls. We'll try to get as many on as we can before we do sign off this afternoon. We go to Chris in Rochester. Chris, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
How's it going, Paul and Anita?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Great.
Hey, Anita, my question is for you. Yesterday you had talked a little bit about JT Thomas probably getting the weak side linebacker spot. And I know that a caller called yesterday and said that possibly Keenan Robinson can really get some competition in that weak side spot. Do you think JT Thomas is the front runner as of right now, even though Keenan Robinson's switching on and off the middle and the weak side?
You know what? It's a great question. And what did you and I spoke on the phone yesterday? So as soon as the show was over, I spoke with Paul. I spoke to him. Was it here or
yeah. We called you yesterday.
I called you. And I said, one of the topics that came up yesterday was at the linebacker position. And I asked you, I said, who is the best cover linebacker on this squad? What did you say?
Jonathan Casillas physically is the best. He did have some busted coverages last year, though, that resulted in big plays for the opposition.
Now, elaborate more on what you said. The problem is physically he's the best cover linebacker,
yeah.
But
all those busted coverages, I mean, you can't have them.
So because of that, it makes JT Thomas.
Yeah, JT Thomas, and quite frankly, I'm anxious to see Keenan Robinson work on the weak side because, again, he didn't do that with the Redskins, and he's a guy, your old buddy Larry Michael from Redskins
from
Broadcasting.
Redskins, right.
Told me when he was on this show some weeks ago that he thinks Keenan Robinson has the skill set to be really, really good, but because of injuries and other various factors, it didn't work out with the Redskins. He gave me the impression that Robinson could challenge for a starting job.
So, Chris, to answer your question, I go with JT Thomas because this day and age in the NFL, it's all about spread offense, spreading the field, passing
right.
the football. And if you're talking about JT Thomas being hands down the best coverage, not physically, but in regard to soup to nuts,
know.
A to Z,
you
exactly.
Right.
I don't see him coming off the field because you're going to see, they're going to need him. You're going to need your best cover linebacker out there playing as many downs as possible, especially on third down.
I'll tell you this.
Right, and I agree with the aspect of him being able to cover. I'm leaning a little towards Keenan Robinson, and he's kind of reminding me a little bit of the pickup we had back in 2010, I believe, when we picked up Boley from the Falcons. That coverage linebacker kind of concept where they can line them up in the dime when they come out in a passing situation. And I think Keenan Robinson can stop the run, just as good as JT Thomas. I think JT Thomas is a little better in the run than the passing, but I think it's going to be imperative to be able to stop the run in Dallas in week one. I think getting them in the long yardage situation is going to be the most important part, and I think that's what kills us every time we go down there.
Well,
because we can compete with them and we put up the points, but being able to stop the run is probably the most important part, getting them in that long third down situation.
I'll say this, it's going to be a new day with snacks on that defensive line. Go, yeah. If you have a moment today and you have like 5 minutes, go online, look at the stats in regard to what running backs were able to average against the Jets when Snacks was on the field and when he was off the field. The differential is astounding. So look at that. I think it's one of the best stats in regard to, I think, what Snacks is going to be to the Giants this year.
And if Hankins has a bounce back season, watch out for that defensive line. They could be really good.
Right. I'm excited. I'm very, very optimistic. I'm hoping they have a great year. Just real quick before I get off, I just wanted to see if you guys had any type of concern, and I'm just kind of throwing this out there. I've been watching a little bit of Olivier Vernon's interviews, and I kind of get the sense that he's bringing up the weather a lot. And I feel like most of the interviews that I've seen him talk about is saying that the weather is going to get a little colder throughout the season. And I don't know if that kind of makes it a little bit concerning, maybe to you guys at all.
No. I mean, he gets asked a lot about the transition because he's a lifer in Miami. Yeah, I know.
Okay. Just to throw that out
nothing,
there, I don't know. I just got a little nervous.
Miss Florida over here.
Nothing like the 305, baby. And hey, thank you for the phone call. Really appreciate it. I will say this. It is different. I mean, I grew up playing sports. I grew up playing football. I grew up in South Florida. You know, like on Thanksgiving morning, you know, we go out to play football at 9 a.m. It's 95 degrees. Do you know what I mean? Like that. So to South Floridians, that is football weather. I get that, you know, there's so much passion up here in the Northeast for the NFL, and I get it. So the mentality is, oh, cold, blistering temperatures, 18 degrees, wind chill at 5. That's football. No, us South Floridians, no, that is not. Football weather is like today here in New York.
Oh,
beautiful blue skies, not a cloud in the sky. Nice 85 temperatures with the wind blowing. Feels like 72. That is perfect football weather. So I could understand where Olivier Vernon is a little, if you're scared, say you're scared. Obviously, he's a little scared because he is talking a lot about it, Paul. But let's take a look at the schedule, okay? So we're good through October.
Yes.
Like, even into November, I think we're good. When we get around, like November 14th, Cincinnati, that's home. Chicago, that's home.
Yeah.
At least he doesn't have to go to Chicago in November. He's at Cleveland on November 27th. That could be a tough game. He's at Pittsburgh on December 4th. That could be a tough game for him. December 11th, he's at Dallas. We know they've got a dome.
That's home.
December.
Dallas and Detroit are home.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's home. Oh. Uh-oh.
And the last two games are at Philly and Washington.
So November 27th through January 1st, man, he better be ready. Get that Vaseline.
Here's what I like about what Olivier Vernon said, and let's just put the weather aside for 1 second. You know what he said yesterday that was the most important thing about this year? He said, I have never been to the postseason, and I want to know what that's like. Forget about the temperature. Forget about the wind. Olivier Vernon said, I've never been to the postseason, and I want to experience that. I've seen other people be a part of it, and I need to know what that's about because the ultimate goal is the Super Bowl. That's all you need to know about Olivier Vernon. I could give two hoots about what the temperature is or what the wind chill factor is.
But then he needs to stop talking about it because it's...
Well, he gets asked it all the time, though. People keep peppering him with this. Oh, you're a Miami guy. What do you think about being here in New York?
Well, then he should just say, I answered that already.
That's the answer, baby. Postseason, that's the answer.
Let's end with this tweet. This is a good one for you, and this is from Donald. He says, Paul, the only time the NFL Network is worth watching is when you're on, because most of the people on there are Giants haters.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. I don't happen to agree with that comment, though, because I think the NFL Network people have been respectful. They're pros. They're great to work with. Love working with those guys. It's been an absolute joy for me. And quite frankly, remember now, in recent times, David Carr, former Giants backup quarterback, is now part of their mix. And so if you're a Giants person, I'm sure you enjoy listening to him. Or Sean O'Hara, who does a lot of work with NFL Network, another Giant-flavored guy, spent a lot of years here and has a ring with the Giants.
Giant-flavored guy? What does that mean? Does he drink the blue Kool-Aid? Is that what that means?
Hey, whatever.
Fans, remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, well, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live this afternoon. I've enjoyed the show with Paul Dottino. Hopefully you have as well. If you missed any part of the show, it will be posted back up on Giants.com so you can watch it in its entirety. And also, I am back tomorrow with Jeff Feagles. Feagues is in house, so hopefully you will join us again then. So have a great afternoon, everybody.